If you're betting March Madness, you should be doing it at MyBookie. This is the best betting stretch of the year. Upsets, buzzer beaters, and if you're going to take your shot, you might as well take it where the payouts hit harder. Only at MyBookie, you've got the money bag. Money bag gives you boosted odds and juiced payouts on select games. Same picks, bigger potential returns. When you're staring at that Sweet 16 matchup or loading up a Final Four play, MyBookie can turn a good hit into a great one. This isn't the week to sit back and wait. Lines are moving, futures are tightening. The edge is right now. Head to mybookie.ag, use code NBASZN, and get your first bet covered up to $500. If it misses, just activate your bet back bonus token and run it back. March only comes once. Bet it smart, bet it big. Only at MyBookie.
In business, there's no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters. Every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else. Your customers, your team, and the future you're building. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS, official shipping sponsor of the NHL.
Hey folks, welcome to our latest episode of Clan from the Stands. We are back live on Facebook and YouTube. Hopefully the Facebook stream holds up this week. If not, you can flick over to YouTube. Yes, we'll say welcome to everyone. Welcome, boys. Hello. Look, it's kind of covered there. My undone hair. There we go. That's quite nice. Complimentary. Yeah, how are we doing, boys? All right. Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm very well, Ross. Very well. Be mixed bag to talk about tonight. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sure is a mixed bag. It's going to be interesting. Look, I mean, we call it squeaky bum time. This is the final push now, isn't it? Right. And listen, we're gonna talk later on about the games coming up, which is interesting to look at, especially the next two games. But anyway, we will come to that. Colin, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Just tired. Pure picture of happiness at what 9 o'clock at night.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Big man's putting a shift in at the gym. Good on you, Colin. That's it. Looking after yourself. Nothing wrong. Listen, this is what happens. Welcome to middle age, mate. This is it. This is where life begins, mate. So, yeah, all good. The dad club. But anyway, look, we're here to talk hockey. And we've got a couple of questions from Twitter. We'll obviously have people joining us now. As I can see, the numbers kind of popping up there. I know that the awards are tonight, so hopefully everyone that's at the awards is having a great time. I think they always do, mingling with the players and stuff like that. If you're at the awards and you're listening, whatever, I'm hoping you're just trying to, if the players have had a couple of beers, just get a little bit of home truth so that you can feed that straight in your comments and questions. We look forward to seeing that from the troops. But yes, anyway, we are back. This has been 2 weeks. I can't remember. No, it's only been 2 weeks. I was away for work for a week, basically. I was in Las Vegas, which was crazy. So that was awesome.
Well, that sounds really crap, doesn't it?
It was pretty good.
They
lit up the sphere with our company logo, which is pretty cool. So that was like an experience. So that's just. Listen, we're here to talk hockey. We're not here to talk about our work.
Did you go to a Golden Knights game when you were there?
I didn't. I was trying to, but my plane landed too late. They played the Oilers and got beat by the Oilers that night. About 20 of the German team went to see it, so that was cool. Good game.
Cool arena.
Yeah, very, very by the looks of it. But anyway, look, we're here to talk Clan. A couple of things we've got to cover off here. So we did, like you say, Phil, a bit of a mixed bag. Started out with two overtime losses. Kevin's stepping down at the end of the year. He will be a miss, Kevin McSorley. Well, I didn't know that. He got an unsung hero award, I saw. So
yeah,
that is a big miss. I guess you could always, Jerry could cover. He's done it before, right? In the interim until they find somebody. But yeah, that is Kevin. If that's the case, mate, we need to get you on the podcast to talk about your time at the Clan. So we'll be in touch, Kevin. Don't worry about that, big man. We absolutely.
Because he's like the guy that said, "Let's get ready to rumble." He's only catchphrase and everything.
Nice.
He's been there as long as that. I've been going. So
he's got that energy, and it's one of those things. He's just our wee guy, isn't he? He's like, that's just how it feels to me. Like, he's almost like, you know, you kind of feel like every Clan fan feels like they know him. But yes, didn't know that. So thanks, Kyle, for sharing. But yeah, look, as I say, the Guildford game feels like, I'll do a quick summary. I'm just going to get your guys' opinion on the four game span. I was texting, were messaging with Dean as well. Obviously, we were on with him. It felt like a carbon copy of the last time Guildford came to town. We outplayed them and got beat. It feels like they've got, I think their goalie was, and again, I don't love the goalie, and Dean did say their goalie's probably their best player. I think he definitely is their best player. But it was a similar pattern. Then they went to Nottingham, not getting humped, but it looked like the game was getting away. We clawed it back. We managed to get a point, which felt like a really good point on the road. That felt like a really good point.
Yeah.
And then we beat the Cardiff Devils at home pretty convincingly in terms of performance. We played well. And then obviously Coventry feels like, I just don't want to play Coventry. I don't want anything to do with Coventry. We just don't seem to be able to get a hand. I don't know
Their number, aren't they? They just, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde. You know the bit that annoyed me the most? Watching the Cardiff game, I thought we competed well. I thought we controlled well. Our puck management was good. We had a bit of quality. Like, some of the goals were fantastic. Yep. And then we go down to Coventry, and it's like we just forgot all that. Are we getting out-coached? I don't know. But I just think that Coventry is one of these teams that have their number, and it's the team we need to be beating as well, because they're right above us. So
it's a tough one. We'll get into the goalie situation. Has been swapping about. It was a Bounds and Sammy. There was a bit of a handbag.
I was hoping he was going to batter Bounds. That would have been brilliant.
I don't even know what happened. Like, whether it was like, you know, you're going to play the whole game tonight, mate. Did he chirp him? Did he say, oh, Sam, you're playing the whole game?
Do you know what got me? Like, there was a bit of, was it Ferguson had a pop up when he was on the ground and he lost a rag there? And then after the game, when the whistle went, he literally like skated up with his hands and his knees. And Bounds kind of walked up, and I said this in our chat off this, like, if he was going to go for him, right, he would have skated up like full tilt and just went, right? But he's went up and tried to be a wido, and Sammy's obviously went nuts.
It's like, nah, he's deaf.
And the thing is, he said that you've seen videos of him fighting online already, like Sammy, so like, he had a leather Bounds, but it would have just been, I was just choking for a goalie fight. I've never seen one at Bray Head, so I thought it would be.
It was almost like he changed his mind. See, when he knew Sammy was kind of stood up to him, I don't know if he thought he was going to go over and what Sammy was going to brick it from him.
Aye,
a change of heart anyway.
Get it round your Bounds. Get out of there, mate. You got bumped. Get out of there. That's it. You come to Glasgow, you got pumped. Get out of there. But yeah, look, Phil, what do you think then? Look, I mean, we'll come to the you know, again, I think the more games we play, we say that, the more we learn about the coach, and there's clearly questions about the coach and who'll be the coach next year. We're focused on this year right now. You know, you look at those four games, we come away with, again, it's 4 points, right? So it's like 4 points from four games, which it feels like we've been almost somewhat consistent in terms of like that being the net return in these little bursts of games, right? Yeah. I think I look at the performance. I say I thought the Guildford one was good. Nottingham obviously was a comeback to get a point in the road, which felt good, really good against Cardiff, and then Coventry, the bogey team. Are you leaning more in like that? That's a good return, and you're quite happy based on the performances, or are you leaning the other way and going, oh, how are you feeling about the team in that last four games?
It's just as it's a good, the bad, and ugly, and it all rolled into two weekends. I've wrote some stats down that I kind of went right into a rabbit hole earlier. I was thinking to myself, what is the issue? What is our issue? Why can we play so well and we don't climb this league, right? So I focused on the teams round about us, first of all.
Yeah.
And we're one loss record against the ones round about us. So Blaze, 4 losses, 1-1.
Yeah, pish.
Guildford, hold on. Right, sorry. So Guildford, 5 losses, no wins. And Storm.
Many of them are overtime.
Probably a few of them. I'm going to take that. I just
these two.
But this is
why we've got one loss. Yeah.
Storm is 4-3. We're getting beat by them.
I felt Storm haven't been as much of an issue.
The point of that being is you're not going to climb the league if you're beaten. It's okay going and we've got a 3-3 head to head with Cardiff, but.
So basically, for what you're saying, because let's also bear in mind, Manchester to me have been for a while a little bit ahead of the pack, and enough of a buffer where it felt like unless they melted down, they're not going to finish eighth, right? It just wasn't going to happen. But against Coventry and Guildford combined, we are 9 losses and 1 win.
Yeah, basically. So this is a problem, right? Those are like 4-point nights.
Yep.
Over the course of the season. So you're never going to get in front of these guys. It's all right going and beating Sheffield and then you kind of beat the people round about you.
See, if you win half of them.
You just become stagnant.
It flips the whole script.
You're undoing all your good work against the other teams and you're not beating the people when it really, really matters. So what it's telling me is the only person... the only team, sorry, that Sarant has made up ground on is Storm. Just for memory, I'm not like.
Yeah.
I think you might have one or two games against them, and that seems to be the only team round about is that we've made ground up on. Like Coventry are still pumping us, Guildford are still pumping us, and it's as simple as that.
Joe, it's interesting as well, Phil. Like, because I was thinking there as you're talking, I hadn't thought about it. Like. I feel like Fife have taken the odd, but we've dealt with Dundee and Fife well this year as well.
Yeah, that's the time Fife beat us at home.
Oh, brilliant. 9-1 with Dundee we are, and 5-1 with Fife.
Aye, so that's what I mean. I feel we've taken, you're going to have the odd, you know, there's the odd, like that happens in this league. You know, it's hockey, you play a lot of games. So I'm like that, you're right. So we've taken care of business there. I don't feel like we've lost it. Like you say, actually, we've taken some scalps. And we've shown on nights, and not just once or twice, but on consistently, you go, like when Cardiff come to... Yeah.
2-1 with Steelers, 3-3 with Devils. Panthers have given us a doing. We're 5-1 with Panthers. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we're so tight with Coventry and Guildford. Like, if we had won 2 of those games, right, 2 of those 9,
we won 2
games,
and 2.
You're that's 8. A 4-point swing each night. Because you're taking 2 off them and adding 2 on to us.
We would be at 57 points. We would be 2 above Manchester, 5 behind Cardiff.
That's only if we won one of those games each against them, Colin. Do you know what I mean?
If you won 2 and 2, so 2 against Guildford and 2 against Coventry.
I'm not even being greedy, mate. See, if we'd won one of those games each against them, we'd be in front of Guildford and Coventry. We'd be in front of them both, I think.
4 points? No, you would be... Guildford's 54, we're on 49. You'd still be behind Guildford. That's why I'd said 2 and 2.
We've got a game in hand over them.
Yeah.
So you have a game in hand.
That's what I've seen. That wasn't making sense to me. But yeah, I was assuming we had one more game in hand.
Can I just pause time out for a second? I just want anyone that's listening to that calling as well. Big round of applause, Phil Cadle with some... Listen, mate, you don't do it often, mate. I know you... Listen, he doesn't use AI. He doesn't use AI. He uses old school. You can see he's got his notes written out there.
The filing cabinet.
Keeps receipts.
The Bruce Almighty filing cabinet.
He doesn't get stats often, but he's gone down the rabbit hole. Phil, we need you to go down more rabbit holes for the podcast, mate. That's a brilliant bit of analysis in terms of trying to analyse, like, where has it gone wrong?
Because we're play... It doesn't feel like we should be down here, and I just couldn't work it out. But it's clearly that's what it is. We don't perform. Yeah, so that's what else I was going. We don't perform against the Guildfords and the Coventries, and we go back to it again. Is it coaching again? We don't have a plan B.
No, I think we lack quality
up against these teams. We still can't solve average teams in this league because they're, as far as like, they're average. They're down with us, you know what I mean? They're not the best teams in the league and we can't make up any ground on them. And that's what Mike Sarant has not been able to do either. I don't know.
It's players, mate. Like, see, when you look at it, we lack physicality this year massively, right? We are not a physical team.
agree and with that.
The problem is, when it gets rough, the smaller guys can't really do much about it, right? And they can't get involved in those gritty games. They want space to skate into. They want, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm not saying we shy away from anything, but we are not physical enough. We are not physically built enough to win a gritty road game. We just don't have the physicality to do it. But the other thing I would say as well is that we tend to have these swings of where we have one good night and then another bad night, and it's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde. And the thing for me is, it's we tend to, like, these little bits of quality that we see at home sometimes with certain players, it's not consistent enough. Like, we are consistently inconsistent, if you want me to put it like that. I think we're one of these teams that when we're on it, we're a really good team. But see, when we're not, I mean, it's just MD's guess. I genuinely think that we lack leaders as well at the moment. I think.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I think with Sidorov being away, we lack a little bit of leadership. And I still think guys like Tedesco's been pretty underwhelming for me. Roy or Roa has been really underwhelming for me. We've got a lot of guys there that have a decent resume that are not really performing. And the guy that has impressed me, though, is the boy Messier that's come in. He looks really good, actually, from what I've watched.
Do you not think, though, Colin, the reason I posed the question, Phil, is that, as always, my questions are generally loaded because there's always an opinion behind them, right? Surprise, surprise. Because the way that I've been feeling is, I was like, performance-wise, I actually feel pretty good. But result, like that's the confliction here, right? Where I'm like, I actually don't think we've laid that many eggs this year. I go, do you know what? We've been, especially since Cody Nielsen's gotten there, we go, oh, we were just unacceptable. Like, I actually think, like, we outplayed Guildford, but to your point, Phil, we aren't able to solve for, like, it's so small margins. You've got to go and find a way when you're on top to, Dean said that. Dean, he's a Guildford fan. He was like, look, that's another one that we kind of stole. Like you know when your team comes in and goes, yeah, we probably didn't deserve that, right? So, and like, again, to have the character to come back against Panthers, to put on that show against Cardiff. Look, I think the Coventry one is a bit of a, look, I mean, I know it's, but the Guildford record is actually worse, and Guildford every year, but you do sometimes have a matchup in it for, but again, that's where, to your point, Phil, it's like, can we not try something different against Blaze? Because clearly, that's the one team, like, you see, Guildford. We've outplayed Guildford and got beaten. So I'm less concerned about that. It's more about you've got to take advantage of those when you're on top. Coventry, yeah. And again, I didn't see the Coventry game because it was away from home. But terrible. I feel we've been schooled by Coventry, like, yeah, I feel, more than any
more
team.
Or less. There was one game at the start of the season, we were down there and they were lucky to get away with it. But, I mean, I got that game on Sunday and we just weren't there. See, mentally, we just weren't there. And as we get closer to playoffs, the games are getting more physical, I feel, week on week, as we're getting closer to crunch time. And the physicality side of things, I think we're getting shown up more, what Colin was saying earlier. But it's not costing us more results than what it did at the start of the season. The results are actually slightly an uptick overall, I think, since Mike took over. But you can see the physicality thing, I feel, is costing us more, because as you get nearer to playoffs games, people feel there's
more. It amps up, mate. Well, listen, Dean's got a question for us. I've talked about Dean. He did. So thanks, Dean, for commenting. It's always good to get different perspectives. He said, good chance we're going to get the Giants unless you can turn them over this weekend. So that's the next two games. It's not exactly easy, but again, you never know.
Sheffield twice at the weekend.
Yeah, I know. He said, Giants aside, if you could pick your ideal playoff opponent out of the top four, I think we did this before. I think I picked Cardiff last time, and I would stick with Cardiff. And obviously that result that we get, that obviously helps me feel more comfortable. That's what I said. What do you think? Anyone change their minds?
No, especially after the watching them. Like, me and Colin was talking during the game, and I thought they were like us, like not even as good as us. But they are loaded up top. See, when they flip that switch up top, they are very, very dangerous. But overall, that would be my pick all day.
Every day. We beat Cardiff the other night, and they went down and beat Nottingham 7-2 in Cardiff.
Crazy.
They've got real quality, right? But I sometimes think it's a bit like the high press at football. See, when you actually get in their faces and do stuff, yeah, we're not physical enough, but we were outworking them on Friday. That was the key to us winning. But some of the goals we scored on Friday were phenomenal. Like Messer's goal was a topper.
Well, speaking of that, Colin, Kyle's asking, would you take him back next year? I think.
Yeah, from what I've seen of him already, he's really impressed me.
Yeah.
His work rate, he was all over the ice the other night. And against Cardiff, you noticed him. Like, he didn't have to. He was just everywhere. He was battling. I just thought, from a performance, it's probably one of the best individual performances I've seen all year.
Colin, even before his goal, you and I were talking, and we were like, he's having his best game for us so far that night. Mm. And then he turns around and he tops off with that spinning rasper. Do you know what I mean? So, good stuff. He's coming in with a... You know, see the way we start the season, Avdi's pure really trying in that. So I take it with a pinch of salt at the moment.
You know, don't forget, he's probably playing. I don't think
he's playing for a contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're looking to get signed up.
I want somebody that still plays the exact same after they sign the contract.
That's a good point. And listen, Scott Davis is another point. So thanks, Scott. And again, thanks, Kyle, for those two comments. The rate we can see goals directly after scoring is a concern. Twice on Friday, we can see we're in 2 minutes of scoring. Top teams are comfortable playing with a lead. We definitely aren't. Phil, you've got an opinion on this one.
Guildford second goal, 30 seconds. 30 fucking seconds. I'm like, honestly, I was at the game. The music had barely stopped for us scoring. The face-off went, and then bang, early goal. I was like, I was furious, absolutely furious.
As we were sitting there, it
happens all the time. Like, it happens way too often. I know teams are going to come. Everybody knows that. Teams are going to come at you. On that first face-off, they are going to come at you as hard as they have all game.
You're most vulnerable when you score. It always happens.
I think, Colin, that's back to your point about leadership. That's where, to me, that's an on-ice thing where you've got whoever is in the ice, you go, right, boys, big shift here. Let's make sure we go. Like, what you want to be doing is impressing, keep the momentum going in your favour, right? You want to go, let's put a big shift and have a good first shift here so we keep this momentum try and get another one.
5 minutes at least, five, but 30 seconds, mate. Oh, my God. Oh.
That's a great observation. That's something maybe we hadn't talked about before, how quickly we do concede after scoring. Like,
I feel I say it every week, just knowing this.
That's like a proper bottle crashing moment, that one. You know, that kind of way. Really bad.
Listen, we've got a couple of more Twitter questions. Listen, I don't know if Graham Moffat's been listening or not. He literally, as we're on air, he said, do you think we need some physicality in the team? I think we've all said, resounding yes. I think, Phil, you make a great point. It's been a problem all year, but also coming into playoff, playoff hockey is different. It's more physical. I think we're going to see what some of these guys are made of. I think, look, you do see sometimes in playoffs guys that maybe during the regular season haven't shown that side of their game, and it's like a mindset switch when we go into that playoff mode. I think we're going to need to see a lot of guys flip the switch there in terms of physicality because, it's definitely not a core strength that we've seen of the team this year.
Yeah. But see, if you were to count in one hand, right, the number of guys that would lay a decent hit and of decent size, you've got Mackay, right?
Yeah.
Parry doesn't do it enough for me. Schwartz, for a wee guy, actually does it quite a bit. Even then, out with that.
I'm looking at our decor going, yeah, Mackay's the only guy in the decor. And then forwards, like you say, we don't really have a
power forward.
Garrison was, I felt, was meant to be that guy, hit like a train, you know, but that didn't seem to materialise. So I think, yeah, that there's not an awful lot of I think guys at Schwartz are there's aggression from some players, but that's different than physicality, right? And I think we lack that physicality. I mean,
how good was, talk about Schwartz, totally digressing, how good was his little like flutch up back shot? That was amazing.
Just would be stuck for him. You know what I mean? If they could,
it's just I texted you, Phil, and said, wow, did you see that? Like, he's just he's one of these wee agitators that we need to re-sign a guy like him just for the leadership and his experience. Like, he's so good.
He's one of my first. He's one of my first.
Tepo, they two kind of go about their business quite quietly and just do it night in, night out all the time. But Tepo, for me, has been one of the biggest unsung heroes on the ice all year.
Yeah. Okay, we do have another. Let me just see. I'm sure we've got another question here. Boom, 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 boom. Let me see. Yes, we do. We've got an interesting question from Good Evening Hockey Fans Appreciation Society, I think. It says, what do they say here? Sorry, it's not them. EIHL Fanforge, sorry. If you could sign one player from each of our direct competitors. So let's talk. They mentioned Dundee and Fife. Like, I guess we could go there. So I guess like bottom half of the table, so like Manchester down.
I know who you're going to say anyway, Ross, so we know that one.
I'll take Lee Hayden, mate. I'll take Mishmash from Coventry. I'll take...
Mishmash is on line. He's brilliant.
I would take Keaton Jameson as like a...
No.
Fourth. Honestly, I think there's a player in there. I would say there's a, like, in terms of like a guy like Parry, I don't know. I think Keaton Jameson, there's maybe a player in terms of Fife. Dundee, probably your boy Naz that you like, Colin. Again, he's the only one that I really... I don't think they've had it. They've been pretty crap this year. Guildford would definitely be their goalie. I think he's...
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'd also take the boy... I'll pronounce his name properly. Where is he? The boy Gilmer from Manchester's decent. And I would also take the lad Gleeson from Coventry.
Yeah.
He's just a pure in the arse for us. He scores against us all the time.
He's actually a class act.
He's
a big body.
What scores go, but for what I seen, what was what when I was watching that the other night, like, knows where the goal is, and he's a playmaker, and he's a wee grafter. Like, I think he's really good.
Quite a big guy.
Yep. We do have another question. Good friend Eddie Squires, I think Big Dave's at the awards tonight. He said that on Facebook. But Eddie's asked,
yeah, I've seen that.
What do you see this one? What do you guys think of all the Friday games to give the players a rest between games and how it's worked out? We're back to mainly Saturday, Sunday games. Also, what do you think of the other teams doing a three-game weekend up here against the three teams? Feels like we always seem to get game one. Because I think it's because the Friday night games, that dictates that, right? We have the Friday night game, which actually you'd want game three, right? Yeah. Where they're a bit beat up. So what do you make of the... Let's talk about the scheduling, which clearly we think is more about the arena being free on Saturday night is what we thought, rather than like... Maybe it's a combination, I think, giving the players a rest. But as a fan, I prefer the Saturday night games. Suits me better. Friday night games less so. So I don't love it. But what do you guys think?
I think there was only like two or three Saturdays. I think there was many this year.
There's some coming up. A couple.
There is. They're coming up now. That's what he's saying. But you're saying, what do you think?
When you read that question there, I thought he was talking about next season and it had been decided and I'd missed something. But you're talking about in the coming weeks, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. For loads of Fridays all the way through midweeks. It's been...
Do we think the Friday Sunday because that is a day in between? You know, if not, you're playing Saturday Sunday back to back. Do we think that's worked out? I mean, I've not seen any. I mean, I'd have to look at the stats and see. Because to me, it's more about the Sunday game. It's the second game. Like if you go
three in a row, net.
I think we have to look at the stats and say, are we net better this season when we've had Friday Sunday versus we had back to back games? And I don't think
we've played three in a row, have we? I can't remember the last time we've played three in a row. It always seems to be Friday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday. I can't remember us playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday like everybody else has.
No, what he's talking about is when the English teams are coming up and they're playing.
No, I get that. I understand that, but I'm just saying...
I don't think we've done it, but...
We've not played three in a row.
But I'd already been beating the drum about that, Ross, about us facing the Nottinghams, the Cardiffs, the Sheffields on the Friday night. I'd rather have them on the Sunday night when they're beat up and stuff like that. Statistically, because we looked into it, I don't know if we looked into it before or after, we spoke about it. Like, we fare pretty well against the big teams on those nights for some reason. That seems to be right. The nights that we get were 2 points for the four-point weekends. It's the second games we seem to have trouble getting up for, unless we lose that first game. I just can't... I can't give you the answers why, but that just seems to be the way that the mind, that just seems to be the mindset of our team. We don't have that killer instinct for two nights in a row, two matches in a weekend. But I know there's maybe been, I don't know, maybe.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
2 or 3 4-point weekends this season? 3, 4?
Is Sarandon enough to say you would take him next year?
No. I think the playoffs
See, before I seen that start about, like, we're shite record against Coventry, we're shite record against Guildford, and he's not improved that. Like, I'm back on the fence with that.
No, I wouldn't take him next year.
But I think he's got to be in consideration. I think whatever happens with the playoff, I need to see what happens. I think the playoffs will be telling in terms of, you know, I think if he does something like get us that playoff week, I think he can earn. I think it'd be difficult not to give him the job. I do think that. I think he could earn the job, but I think he's going to really have to. I mean, it's going to be tough.
We need to make a statement now. I mean, the owner's been in for how long, and we've done nothing since he's come in. And so far, we've hovered about the bottom, 8th, 7th. We can't continue doing this as a club. We need to get the right fit. We need to go after the right person, get a decent squad set up with good balance, physicality, all that kind of jazz, and make a real run at it. Because I just feel we're too happy all the time. Oh, we need to just look after players because we don't want that reputation. No other team in this league is keeping players because they don't want that reputation of not being this. They don't give a shit. They'll just get rid of people if they're not doing it. We seem to keep a hold of folk for ages. So, I mean, Roy, for example, he would not be in any other team this year for his performance. He would have been bidden ages ago.
He'll not be back, Colin.
No, I know he won't.
Right, my concern is, like, Just to go back to Saran, my concerns with bringing Mike back now is, more than likely, we're going to finish 7th or 8th. And I feel by keeping Mike Saran that there's not going to be enough changes for us to get right up that league, because he knows he's got, there's 3/4 of that squad's got great potential, but It's not happening. We're 8th. It's just not happening.
Do you not think a wee bit of I guess that's a good point. Look, let's move it away from the coach and let's talk about, like, if I think about the roster, right, and go, like, do you think this, like, it's not open heart surgery, right? Actually, you know, this is kind of like, you go, like, I think our decor, like, the only slight concern, let's say, is a little bit of maybe physicality, but net, I mean, you might want to change one of them, right? Maybe if you get an upgrade for somebody that's a bit bigger, a bit more physical, and then in the, like, it's not open heart surgery, right? The team needs.
I know, Ross, but it's no one or two, because you're no 8th if you're only one top day away from being an amazing team.
Well, you say that, right? So look, put it this way, right?
You say that, but I
completely disagree, right? Because the amount of teams you go, look, I've seen this team enough this year to go, like, again, this has not been the same, even though, ironically, like, leagues, I understand the irony, right? There is irony to this.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's like, we're watching this going, how are we not, like, and I just think it's one of those things that if you, again, I'm not talking that we've got, it's one or two, but if you, like, in the roster we have, you're talking, like, 3 to 5 players, right? And I think there's guys that, it's quite obvious, the 3 to 5 guys, you might go, there's probably 3 you want to at least get rid of. But even I'd be saying, like, there are guys you go, he's a good player, but we could do with an upgrade there that would kick us on. And I do think if you got, like, even if you got three of those right, and you got like a goal, like a goal scorer, somebody a bit more physical, like, I just think it could. I actually don't think the team needs complete, which would be my fear.
I'm not saying nine new players, but I'm leaning more towards five for us to have a shot. And this is the thing, because they're not bad players. Like threes, like I'd struggle probably to pick three.
So
I would get rid of Roy. I would get rid of, this is what I mean. See the likes of Tepo. Like, he doesn't do anything wrong, doesn't do much. But you need to upgrade somewhere. And I would want Fram, Pullman, I like Mackay. I don't know. This is what I mean. I don't know enough about hockey.
I think you could upgrade. I think Fram and Pullman are the must keeps. I think there's an argument for Saigo. I think there's an argument for Mackay. I think there's an argument for Tepo. But I think there's genuine argument in terms of you probably need to consider upgrading one of those guys. Now, you can make a case for different guys, right, depending on what you're bringing in. But I think there's an example where you would just improve the D a bit, which I think the D is good, right? The goalie situation is pretty good.
Seeing short, right, how many do you think we need to upgrade? How many do you think to get to fifth?
Yeah.
I think five. You need three. Roy, Tedesco, Risk. I would also get rid of Parry. I would also consider getting rid of...
I don't like his talk. I ask it rather that's why.
I'm just saying, risk.
My point is, there needs to be more than three upgrades for us to come fifth. It's just the way it is.
I'm talking three upgrades. I'm not. When I say upgrades, I kind of look at like guys you might not. I just think that the core of the team, and it's like it's amazing what can happen when you bring in a few guys. And again, I'd rather us focus on three and you get them right. And you go, these guys are proper. Again, you look at Fram this year, like you look at the decor from last year, this year, right? Okay, it's a distinct difference. That only needs a little, again, fit. I think probably physicality is the only thing I would argue is missing from the decor, right? So you go.
Then there's Pullman's injuries. Do you want your...
Well, you're treading water, I feel quite often. Maybe a bit, and these are the decisions that you've got to make, right? So as a club, but I just think in the forward line, I actually think that there's a decent group there, and I just think there's a couple of, again, but this is not a matter of like taking, like, I don't think you look at, see guys at Parry to me are dispensable always. You're like, you could bring in a different guy, like with different attributes, like it's fine, it is what it is. I'm talking your top guys, right? So the top two lines, your decor, your goalies. I think you make three changes there and you get them right in terms of upgrades. I think this team easily elevates. To your point, Phil, we're only what in those games. It's like winning those games that we were out playing Guildford in, right? Anyway, like just having clutch people, that to me is the team's not that far off. I just think that's my belief is I genuinely, even though I know we're probably going to finish eighth, and that's the likelihood of the most likely situation right now, which is crazy to think again that this is where we're at.
So see that, is that not rewarding mediocrity?
I think, Phil, bringing only
three players in.
That is a good point, Phil, to be fair. We're on a roll tonight, mate.
And I think I've been consistent, is Cody Nielsen is... Again, I never thought he was the right guy. And I think, look, Mike Sarant's come in and there's been a little bit of an uptick. I don't know if he's the guy. I think I'll judge him at the end of the season and see what he can produce. But as I said to you before, I've said this all along, these players, we can be squeezing a lot more out of some of these guys than we have been able to do, especially under Cody Nielsen, where I think they were overcoached, it's overstructured. Like, I just think he was the wrong guy for the job, and I think that sometimes the league moves on beyond you sometimes, and he wasn't able to adapt, and he didn't really, you know, he built this roster, so I can't even give him any a pass. And that's like, Cody, you pick these players, and it's like,
he would love and die by the sword with that.
We talked about speed and stuff like that. He didn't really feel what he was utilizing that. Like, so it's like, I just think having a coach that comes in, so whether that's Mike Sarant or somebody else, I just think the group of players, and I think there's so much jeopardy in like to your point, Phil, like 9-10 changes every year. That's what keeps you in this cycle.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anywhere. I think, but we need, like, see if you look at Parry, right? I like Parry when he's in the PKs, he's effective.
If he comes back, it's fine.
Yeah, but I would much rather we put the money into somebody that on the other end is going to be in a third or a fourth liner. You kind of want them to come on and lay a couple of hits or do a couple of things. Now, Parry, for me, don't get me wrong, I think he does fight when he has to and everything else, but for me, you kind of want the player thinking, oh, shit, if I get this puck, I'm going to get crushed here off this board. So
I think that's a decision, like I say, in terms of like what you want. I just think, see these guys, Parry and that are just like, they're the ones that can just...
They're not the issue.
No.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we're going to need to see for us to get the top, to get fifth, like, it's top liners we're going to have to pull out or replace. I'm talking the Newmans or the... Just somebody that's even better. Like, these guys are amazing and they're much better than what we've had. But see, to get right up there and be serious challengers to win silverware, well, it's the top guys I'm talking about that need
to win. I'm talking like, you look at Tedesco and Risk and you go...
Tedesco's fucking been murder, man.
But my point is, he's brought in with a reputation. He's done, like, so my point is, if you went and got somebody that was like again, and you went and upgraded that and attached somebody who was what we maybe, what Tedesco maybe used to put up, like, that's huge. Risk, the same thing. If he went to be like a solid, like really good, like Schwartz type second liner, you're going, those two things alone, they get you over the hump in these games. I promise you. Like, because you're not talking to me about, if you're saying, what do we need to go up to be challenging Belfast? That's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
I'm talking about jumping from where we are to fifth. It's not that much. It's not a lot. Yeah. It's tweaks. And again, I would say the coaching appointment.
But why do we aim for fifth? We want to aim higher.
I know, this is another thing, like we're in year four.
We're aiming for mediocre, as you were saying. For, I reckon we should be going at, I mean, if you look at the budget, I mean, it's all hypothetical, right? But if you look at the budget we've got and the players we basically signed, like, I reckon we should be doing much better for what we pay for. And if you look at teams like, look at Manchester at the start of the year, right? If we manage to go on that run, that's when you invest and you start tweaking and changing things. And if you look at like Belfast never have a strong start, but they just go about their business really quietly and then they just rise to the top all the time, right? Because they're well coached and they've a good squad.
That is just coaching with Belfast. They've got an amazing... They've
also got a really good network considering these brothers in the NHL, right? But I would say, like, we genuinely need to aim higher. We can't just go, all right, well, we'll accept this. That's well, what you're
dogs now, mate.
You know what I mean? Like,
I remember 2 years ago, is we're going to win this and win that.
If you enter a race and go, right, if I get top three, I'll be happy. That's the attitude of a loser straight off the bat. You always want to win.
I think you've got to understand your company. I think the other thing as well, Belfast project, that took time to build. And I think this is my point. Like, I think that there's strong foundations there now in terms of the playing fraternity. Right, I genuinely think the coaching that's the big question mark for me, is that you've got to get that right.
The coaches, that's the thing. See, if we're going to change the coach, right, I just feel there's going to be at least 7 import changes, at least 7 if we don't go with Sarant. So it's, what do you do? Do you go for a coach that's better than Sarant? And go for all these, accept all these changes again, because he's got to bring his own guys in. That's just
right, the way he will. I think it depends on what Sarant. If Sarant can show, Phil, if he can show that he can get us in the play, if he does, again, he has to earn it. If he gets us to the playoff weekend, he does something like that, he will earn that. He will have earned the job, in my opinion, and say, we can get these guys over the hump. If he doesn't, I think you're right. I think it's a big decision for the club once again.
But he was part of the recruitment, wasn't he? He was there with Corey. Well, he was the assistant. I'm going to say he's part of that problem. Now, don't get me wrong. Is he getting a tune out of them? Yes, he is. But would I trust him to go and recruit another team? Not a chance. No way. I would much rather have somebody come in. If we lose 7 guys, we lose 7 guys. And that's, I mean, it might sound harsh, right? But
you're recruiting a full team, though, Colin. I think we'd be retaining a lot, and then it would maybe be the 3 to 5 players.
Right. I'll put it to you now, right? If say for example, Pete Russell with Dyson as his assistant should rock up and say, "Look, we'll take it on next year," what would the two of you do?
Look, Pete Russell is a, in my opinion, my biggest thing with Pete Russell is he'll just piss off. And again, you're back in the same position. I think you've got to think beyond that. I think
that straight question: would you take the two of them right now and replace them?
Yeah, I would take them. Yeah,
yeah.
Like right now,
why do we not aim for a higher caliber coach?
Well, it's not about aiming for a. It's like I think the thing is, well, does Pete Russell even want? It's hypothetical, right? So it's like that's a hypothetical. Thing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But my point is, that's like me saying we can go and why don't we just go and get mishmash? Why don't we just go and sign all the best players in the league? We can't because...
Well, you can if the offer's right. It's a bit of like money.
My point is, look, right now, based on what we know now, if you ask me at the end of the season, Mike Sarant gets us to a playoff weekend, yeah. I think it's a harder question to answer because you're going, well...
I mean,
I want to know who's been searching for these coaches because, like, whoever's been going after Corey and everything beforehand, who was responsible for that?
But the problem is, I think a lot of people, you were happy with Corey's appointment
at the start, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it would have steadied the ship.
I wasn't more because of the style, and I didn't think it was, I didn't believe in the style, I didn't think he was the right, but.
I expected a big physical.
I just wanted Dyson.
I know, I want Dyson, but the point is, I was like, you know what I mean? So the point is, it's like, who's looking? It's like, again, I just think that, look.
It's really, do we stick our twist now in it? That's pretty much it.
I think it depends on the season ends.
We might be getting a bit too low here with that Coventry result, so.
I just think it depends exactly. For look, there's enough games to go now. We'll see where we finish up and we'll see what we can do. Here we go. Matthew's going to give us a bit of something here. Going Sarant's only signings being Suya and Mesner. I would be intrigued to see. There you go. That's a great shout. There you go. Not too bad. So definitely better than what's been brought in before. So, yeah.
What I would say about that is mid-season
different
recruitment isn't normally the manager. It's just... Whoever's available.
Not signed before Sarant took on. I know Mesner wasn't, but I know was Sulia not signed? Because remember we complained about his calibre because he got injured down in Nottingham.
There you go, Alan, saying you should be the next coach.
Thanks. Have you ever watched that Danbury Trashers or whatever it is? I would have a team like that. That would be my... That's bread it. And butter. Like if they're going to be hard to beat, and we're just going to beat the shit out of everybody.
Your team would be like Dyson's 15 tough guys that know how to score.
That's it. I like the point about Mesner as well. Look, yeah, give Sarant some credit.
That's a good point, to be fair.
Yeah, but let's.
I don't think Mike sourced him. He's came across his desk and.
After hearing he had to argue to get Mesner in also, Matthew, so there's some good intel there. There we go. So look, good. If that's true, Mike Sarant for president. There we go.
So what's
he just said he interviews, didn't he?
Sarant had to argue to get Mesner.
Aye. But listen, let's focus. We need to switch focus now because, look, the important thing here is this playoff push. So the next games, not pretty reading. We go away to Belfast on Saturday and then they come over to Glasgow on the Sunday. We then have Fife at home on a Friday the 27th before we go down to Guildford on the Saturday. And then there's a midweek game against Dundee on the Wednesday. And then we finish with a home and a home against Sheffield Steelers. So we go down to Sheffield and then come back to Glasgow on the Sunday. Again, not ideal. So these Sunday games, we're travelling and I don't love that and having to come back up.
See, after the Belfast games, it's not a terrible run. Like,
no, look, thing is as well, Phil, see the Sheffield...
Steal something. That's me talking like a loser now, isn't it? Steal something.
Yes.
But if we get 2 points out of those Belfast games, and then, like, what did you say, Guildford, Fife,
Guildford, Dundee, and then... Do you know what?
Like, yeah. Like, if we put the games into, like, threes, you know what I mean? If we could get 4 out of 6...
and then six.
But
see, the thing is, Phil, yeah. It's interesting that like by the time we play Sheffield, the table, the seedings may already be relatively sorted at the top end of the table at that point. We don't know, right? So there is something where like, you know, so there is an element of you can get a little bit of luck and timing of playing teams. Obviously, it would be nice to be playing Belfast if they'd already won the league and didn't care. That would also help. And other teams may have that benefit. But looking at those fixtures, let's say that, like you say, I think you're right, but we have to take probably 2 points from these two Belfast games.
Yeah.
To give ourselves a platform to then go, look, Fife and Dundee, you've got to win those games. And then it becomes a huge game against Guildford to then set us into the last two games where, again, maybe Belfast 2 points. Like
where is the Guildford game down there?
Aye.
Yeah. By the way, that's a Danny Stewart played for the Danbury Trashers. That's a fact and a half.
There you go. Let's have a look at Guildford's schedule. So Guildford's schedule, here we are. Where are we? They have got, so they're, well, it's interesting. They are at Storm on Saturday, and then they're at home against Blaise. They then go back down to Storm the week after. Then they're at home against us. They then have Belfast away, Manchester at home, and that's them done. So they got Manchester 3 times in that span. That's huge. Us and the Blaze. So, I mean, they do have a – it's all in their hands, right? That's certainly interesting. And, again, looks a little bit easier than our schedule. What do you think, boys?
On what, sorry? On
the fixtures. So Guildford's fixtures, they play Manchester – twice away, once at home. They play Coventry at home and us at home, as well as a away trip to Belfast when Belfast probably already.
I wouldn't say they've got an easier. Well, they do have an easier run on paper, right? But
they do.
Let's be honest. Like it depends what team we turn up at night. Because I think if we turn up any game, we can do okay. But we have this consistent seesawing effect where we have one good, one bad, one good. You know that kind of way, and it's pretty frustrating.
Blaze's fixtures now as well. Let's have a little look here.
Just now, like Coventry's the last team I'd want to play.
Blaze have got they've got Panthers, Flyers, Flames, Flyers, Devils, Giants, Devils, Giants. So it's they play the Giants.
Yeah, they've got a tough few last games, but saying that Giants may have won the league by then.
I know they've got five
points ahead.
I think if Giants dispatch us twice, then they only need 4 more points, apparently. Yeah.
Well, here we go. It's a long one from Adam. It's even hidden Colin's face. Sorry, Colin. I'm going to put it up and I'll bring it down. Sarant has done a great job. Just a shame we're playing catch up after Corey. Yes, we're still at the bottom, but the gap was wide in points. Thanks to Mike, you closed the gap to where we could still end up 2, maybe 3 places higher. Just to say we're tied to the fates of the teams above us. Time will tell, but Mike has at least helped close the gap. Personally, I'd love to see what he could do with a full season. Plus, a new coach and new rebuild isn't good. That's probably, as I say, Adam, slightly where I'm leaning at the moment. Again, I do need to see the full body of work. And really what we can do in the playoffs, I think, is regardless of who we draw, I think that's what I'm interested to see what we can squeeze out of the team. But yeah, it's true. Phil, Colin, he has closed the gap. It isn't as big as it was.
No, it's just my opinion. My opinion is like...
That's why we're all here.
I just would like a little bit more... I enjoy the physical side of the game, right? But I just would like to see a little bit more grit and determination in a team. And yeah, I'm just not sure he would bring that. That's for me. Yeah, like I like us having one or two of those players where you're looking over your shoulder and it gives you that little advantage when you're going for a puck. It also lets the guys like Newman and the rest play. Like Buck play because they have that on the ice. A bit like, I think that's where Fife have got it wrong. Fife have Hunt and they've got Lucic now, right? But they've got these guys there, but the team run about them is pretty average and they don't really have players that can play, if you know what I mean, with the greatest respects. So they've kind of got that set up, not those, but if you had that type of player, then you would end up like Hunt. You've got that guy that's a bit of a loose cannon, which, okay, can go against you as well, but it still puts bums in seats. And I loved the Fitzgerald era. I loved like when we had Salters and, Chris Frank and all that kind of stuff. That was
Chris Frank.
I mean, every night you knew they weren't going to back down. If somebody came into Brayhead, you knew they were going to be leaving battered and bruised because they were throwing hits. There was everything in it. I know the game's changed a little bit, but I want a coach that plays that style of hockey. That's what I enjoy watching.
And that's not my
would you rather have players that, so next year, Sarant's got the job, would you rather have players that are more ruthless in front of goal or players that are more physically intimidating during games?
Both.
And helps you win game.
You can't pick one because you're not going to have like a line.
Answer the question, mate. You answer the question. What would you pick? You said you prefer the fit, so would you prefer, say, I'd rather...
Would you prefer that over somebody that's rooting, like, get like two or three guys that are more ruthless in front of goal?
Or have two or three bruisers?
Aye.
Two or three bruisers all day long.
I understand it is entertaining. Like, it is entertaining. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Because these bruisers now, there's no such thing as a goon anymore. You've got guys that play hockey. They all score. They're not like... Your typical one, look at Dyson Stevenson, right? He can fight, but he's not just your out-and-out guy that fights. He can play a bit of hockey. All these guys play hockey now. Your days of your Zach Fitzgeralds and guys that just want to literally batter the crap out of somebody are gone.
I know, but quite often they come at the expense of a lesser goal threat. If you're going
maybe,
to tight players.
Maybe that's the case, but sometimes these guys can win you games because... they do rough it up a little bit.
That's where I think we've got it wrong. Like, we've went for a more skillful team, but they're not ruthless enough in front of goal. So we've kind of landed somewhere in the middle of that.
But we're not anywhere near the middle because we're not physical at all.
We've landed in the middle of either go silky and have guys that can put the puck in the net, or you go with the physical side. We've tried to go silky and we fell short. We haven't.
These boys are big in the changing room as well. These guys that are tougher are good in the changing room. They also lead. And I think that, see, if you've got guys that are getting a little bit roughed up, they're the guys that kind of go and set the tone a little bit. And then you kind of do let them play. So you seen it when was it? Dundee last year had the boy, was it? Pulo or whatever it was for the past 2 years, and every time he played, he basically was their go-to guy because he was tough, right? And their players would play with a little bit more freedom. See, when you watch Dundee losing more games, he was off. He wasn't in the game at all.
I think you only need one guy like that.
Aye, maybe, but we don't have any.
Maybe I was overcorrecting by saying three. I think you just need one like that, and it frees this guy who ends up. They get a wee bit gallus because they've got this big guy backing them up and stuff.
Let's wrap up because we're probably coming up in time where I think we're trying to go over the hour. You always try and stay about 45 minutes. Very quickly, let's look at the next two games, Belfast doubleheader. What we take in from those two games? I'm going to start us off. I do believe we're going to get 2 points from... I know Dean doesn't think so. I think we're going to get 2 points from these two games.
I think we can get 2 points. We need to get our 2 points somewhere. So we're a 50% team. So our record is 5-0. It can't continue.
You think 1 point going?
I'm going greedy and asking for two. I was going to say something ridiculous there, but
I'm going to... OT lost in Brayhead, and I reckon we'll get done over there. I think they're just very good at home.
I don't know. A big ice pad.
They demolished Sheffield at the weekend twice.
I think we can catch them, but I think they come back over. Again, I would prefer the other way around. But
yeah, because we're travelling and then travelling back. Like, we've got the two-leg travel, whereas they've only got one. So,
not easy. Okay, well, listen, let's leave it at that, boys. Look, we've got to hope. Listen, it is squeaky bum time now. I think we've got to go and we've got to be better than 50% fill in this last stretch of whatever it is, 7 or 8 games, to have any chance of pushing ourselves up and getting, hopefully avoiding this Belfast team, the champions elect in the playoffs. So listen, fingers crossed, we'll be enjoying the the cast on the first game out in Belfast, always a good game. As always, boys, we need a big goaltending performance, and we didn't get to that. We'll talk about it next time, maybe the goaltending situation when we have more time. But yeah, whoever's going to be in between the pipes needs to have a big, big game over in Belfast for us to have a chance to get something there, which would be huge if we could take anything from that game and then bring them back to Brayhead, hopefully for a famous Clam win. Let's see. But listen, thanks to everyone for the comments. Hope everyone is enjoying the awards. Look forward to seeing the other winners filtering through. And yes, we will, if we see you next time, we'll hopefully see you in the arena in the meantime. So thanks, everyone, and good night.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.